Hello, this is Caitlin Gaston at the Pratt Munson Building in their library. I am interviewing Rosette Sherman on November 16th at 10:22 a.m. Rosette, to start off the interview, could you tell me about where you grew up?
I grew up in Princeton, New Jersey.
Could you tell me more about Princeton?
Well, it's a college town. It had a lot of really beautiful buildings, a lot of history. The campus was beautiful. And I walked through the town every day to get to school, so I got to see really good architecture, gardens, things like that.
Could you tell me about when you were interested in art?
I have a memory from first grade. I was impressed by my art teacher who did a drawing on the bulletin board, and I just wanted to do it. I wanted to draw right away.
All right. What did you draw, if you remember?
Oh, I don't really remember middle school or grade school particularly, but middle school, my parents signed me up for a Saturday class doing ceramics, and then later in high school, I was signed up for a landscape drawing class. So my parents encouraged me, and that helped a lot. I knew by the time I was through high school that I wanted to be an artist.
So you would say that's like the start of your formal education?
Well, at home, but they gave me the catalyst to want to, they gave me the enthusiasm to want to continue as an artist and go to art school.
Could you tell me about art school?
Well, I wound up at Utica College, and eventually I participated in a program at Munson Williams Proctor, the same facility as we're in now, and they had a full-time program where people that wanted to major in art could come and work for 2 years solid art training. And eventually I got credit through Utica College for my time spent doing that. I also went to Oneonta State University, so between all those things I finally wound up with a degree in art.
So what kind of classes did you take?
We had sculpture, three-dimensional design, figure drawing, portrait, materials and methods, and printmaking.
Did you have any classes where you're like, oh, this is the art I want to do for the rest of my life, or?
No, it just contributed to my knowledge.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What was it that led you to sculpture space?
Oh, well, I was between jobs, and I saw, I went to the county to look for employment, and there was a listing for a CETA employee for sculpture space. And I already knew my sculpture professor was the founder, so I was kind of had an in. And the CETA program was funded by the county, I think, to help organizations pay for basically work there and train at the same time. So they got 50% of my wages subsidized. And the program lasted 18 months. So I was hired for a position as office manager.
So that was at the beginning of Sculpture Space?
Yes, they were very young. It was really in the early phases, yes.
Yeah. What was it like working there?
Well, they didn't really have a proper office. So I had one of the women who was also involved in the beginnings. Her name was Bernadine Loden. She had a position at Kirkland Art Center in Clinton. So they gave me office space there, and I worked under her.
Could you tell me more about her?
Well, she was I think she was the director of Kirkland Art Center as well. And she was the director of Sculpture Space in its very early stages. So it, we started out really, really incrementally small. And then there was a point where we could no longer use the office at the Kirkland Art Center, and I had an office at her home. And then by that time, my 18 months of support from the program ran out. And I knew the board, and Sylvia DeSwan was on the board. And I just said, why don't you look into taking over for me? And then she became the director for years. I don't even know how many, but she was there for a long time.
So, like, what type of work did you do exactly?
Day-to-day things, write letters, file, go to meetings, meet artists, provide materials for PR for, we had a couple of shows. One was at City Hall. I don't remember where the other one was, but everything started really slowly, and we gradually got more more notice in the community and became where we are now.
So, backtracking a little bit, how would you say that Sculpture Space impacted you as an artist?
I think generally when I'm around people that have an interest in art, it feeds my interest in art. So it just rubs off on you. Seeing the diversity was really, really interesting, because you didn't see pieces in a museum or a gallery. You saw the preliminary workings, and we had the studio was cold, but we had artists come in for their residency, and I didn't write any grants. Bernadine did that, but we had grants, and that helped us.
So was your art ever separate from your job, or no?
Oh, my art had nothing to do with the job. Not really.
How would you say the organization changed over time? You said it grew slowly.
Mm-hmm. I think they just learned by doing. It got better and better. They had connections in New York. It was just as though you'd moved into a new community, and you meet neighbors, and after a while you become friends, and then you meet together. It just built on its own energy, really. The people involved were very dedicated. We had good board members. I think it was just a natural progression for it to take time. And we had some bumps in the road that were major, we were afraid we wouldn't have the space for and the materials and the equipment for the artists. I think Charlie Fisher and John Von Bergen could address that better than I can. My memory of it isn't that solid, but I remember that there was concern that we might not be able to keep going.
Do you remember anything from that time, or no?
Not really.
Okay.
But I did, I don't know where your questioning is going, but I did wind up working for them again in 2000. So that was a totally different experience.
Right.
I needed to learn, too.
Could you tell me about the founding of Sculpture Space? I know you said you worked in the beginning, but do you know anything about the founding?
I just know that John and Charlie came up with the idea.
Oh,
and Charlie's family, or his business was, there was a location right across the street, right across the way from the actual building that we inhabited for sculpture space to develop. And they had huge metal turning, metal shaping, welding, turning things, huge pieces of steel. And that's what the Utica steam engine and boiler works were. So it was a partnership. I don't know if there was any financial, I don't think there was any financial thing back and forth. They were offering the business that Charlie's family father owned were kind enough to offer that assistance. And the work that was being done generally in those days favored sculptors working large scale in metal. So it was a good thing to have.
So in the beginning it was like metal art sculpture. What was next? Like, what was the next art trend for sculpture?
Oh, I don't know. I only had my 18 months, and things went from there. Sylvie was much more skilled at outreach with people who were New York people, international people, connections. She was very good at making connections, and I certainly couldn't have even begun to do that kind of work. I just wasn't worldly. I was young and I wasn't worldly enough, really. So my job was mostly just doing secretarial plus a little, you know, other. But yeah.
So what did you do from the period from your first time at Sculpture Space to when you went back in 2000?
Oh, I was a waitress. Had a couple of kids, got married, had a couple of kids. And I know I worked, but things were mostly staying at home and dealing with the kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
And my art. I still was able to do my work.
So how did your art develop?
It just kept going. We added on to our house in 1992, and I had a real studio. Before I was in the living room and the dining room and upstairs in our bedroom. Limited finances,
yeah.
Just doing what I could do and fitting it in.
So were you painting, sculpting, or...?
Mostly painting.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I went from, well, because of my experience at Munson Williams, I learned a lot in printmaking, and I really liked printmaking. Continued to like it because I'm a process kind of artist. I like materials and watching things develop, and it's still part of what I do. I started out doing prints, woodcuts, and then that went in. I got rheumatoid arthritis that affected my hand, so I couldn't do the woodcuts anymore. So I went into black and white paintings, ink paintings. And then because I was using fluid, I went from that to watercolor, and then watercolor to pastels. And now I'm doing mixed media, and I'm back into ink.
During all that, when did you become interested in working, or were you approached to work for Sculpture Space again in 2000?
I got wind of the opening, and I applied and was accepted.
What made you apply?
Wanted to work for the organization again.
So were you kept up with like connections and the people there in between your time?
Well, a lot of it was building relationships with the board and doing what needed to be done that was directed by Gina Murtaugh. She was the director then. So, and I did payroll and mailings and things like that for shows and things. I did have time to talk to the artists that came in too, so that was I enjoyed that a lot.
What were the artists like?
Glad to have a place to work. It's really important to be able to leave the complexity of one's life to be able to go and just do your work. And no matter what the genre or whatever the organization is offering to the artist, whether it's painting, time to paint, time to write, time to do music, they're invaluable. And Sculpture Space was that. And there are a lot of art residency programs now. I think it's grown. And because I still think of myself as someone who cares about Sculpture Space. All of that, we all benefited from that kind of support. Finding grant money, being able to apply, and take time out from your life so you can focus on your work.
So you would say it's pretty unified and has been since the beginning. And
unified in what way?
You know, like
a continuum.
Yeah, a continuum. Yeah. Artists supporting artists.
I think it's an organization that supports artists. Okay. It's not. These are people that want to support artists. Some of them might be artists themselves, but I'd say primarily the interest is recognizing that it's a valuable institution that needs support, and it's grown on that foundation.
How long did you work for Sculpture Space when you started again in 2000?
A couple of years.
And it was the same work you did previously?
A little more complicated because the tools were more complicated. Yeah. We had the computer. We had scanners. Yeah. There were people in the community that we could go to for helping with mailings and design, and farming out certain jobs that we weren't doing in-house. And I still think that they do that today. I'm not sure, but I'm assuming so, because we get mailings. But nowadays, it's not even mailing so much as developing what you need online, having a good website. I don't even think we were doing websites back then. Yeah, it was just really everything took off with the development of the technologies that we have now today.
So was it an adjustment with your work with having to switch to new technology?
It was a challenge. Yeah, I would say that it was good that I left, so someone that maybe knew more and had a more solid grounding in those technologies was good. My kids were teenagers; they needed me around, and it was a 4-day work week. So I found that there were times when I missed things because I didn't know what happened on the day that I wasn't there. And so it just, I think it was time for me to move on, and there were other people that had better skills at what the developing technology.
So going back to the community, what would you say the relationship has been like between Sculpture Space and the local community?
Oh, it's grown. They definitely have presence in this city and beyond that they didn't have. You know, it took them a long time. It takes time. It's like if you move into a neighborhood and you don't know anyone, and you have a few people that you bring in from the outside. They come, they go, then they tell their friends and whatever tools you have to make your organization known to the world. They succeeded in that. But it takes time to develop, and they're there now. I'm sure they're there now.
How did they develop that relationship with the community?
More visibility, in bringing invitation. They had functions, events that were more user-friendly for the general people that like art, want to support art, are interested in art, aren't really sure about it. They made it more user-friendly. It was much more welcoming.
Were there any challenges between the community and sculpture space, or?
Not that I know of. I wasn't in the circle then. I was looking from the outside at that point. Yeah.
Was there anything like significant you noticed?
Mostly that just they were getting visibility and support from the community, and people that had some influence and cash.
That's always good.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you would like to talk about in terms of sculpture space?
I think we've pretty much covered it. Watching the development's been beneficial to me to see that you can start with an idea and bring in good people that are enthusiastic, that like your idea, and run with it. And I think they've done that very well. That's all I have to say.
So I want to talk about your art more. Mm-hmm. Could you tell me about your practice of art making? You talked about it a little bit, but could you talk about like the process?
Well, it always changes. I don't mind if I have a show that spans 20 years. There are pieces that look like what somebody else did it. Perhaps haven't really followed me, you might say, "Wow, she really gave up on that and moved to this. Does she really even know?" I mean, but to me, there's a thread that goes through all of it, and it has to do with nature and my love of nature and of developing our sensibilities to see things that are on their own. They're artistically very beautiful, and I like to bring that in to my work through photography, which I wind up print on rice papers, and then I embed the photographic elements in the piece. I do a lot of layering. I use different surfaces, develop different surfaces. I benefit a lot from having golden artist colors down the road, and I play with their materials and it's really enhanced my ability to try different things, which I've always loved. I like exploring, and the challenge that I have is to just, I'm 71 now, and I recognize that I don't have a lot of time left, and if I want to keep exploring, I have to accept the fact that there are going to be things that just didn't work, and be willing to just put it aside and start another painting. So I work from things, doing pieces that take a long time to develop, maybe 2 years, mostly thinking and looking and wondering what I'm going to do next, but they take a long time. But then there are other pieces that I do in ink that are just, they get done in 30 seconds or an hour. Yep.
So were you always interested in using nature, or?
Well, I think so. For a number of years, I was more of a landscape painter, traditional, but loose. I used to go to Maine in the summer for a week or two, whatever I could afford. But I painted around here too, and eventually that kind of just evolved into something else. It's not that I don't like doing it, but I think that I'm able to be more show more of my own language and my own voice by doing what the pieces that are different. They're not just standard landscape, figure, ground, rock, island, sea, trees, sky. I don't do that anymore. But I'm expressing those things in an unconventional way, I guess, compared to tradition.
So you used tradition and then you broke it, but you're still using
yes.
it? Yes. I think I saw your website. You do like collages, correct? Mm-hmm. Do you use natural material?
Well, I'm working on the technical aspects of that. I have a lot of collections of things that I want to embed in the piece, and there are technical things that have to be worked out. I've spent a number of years trying to figure out how to dry flowers and use petals or seed pods or things like that, and different materials affect those dried up pieces of organic materials, and some of them bleed out and turn brown. Either work with it or you don't, or paint over it. And then in one case I was doing, I had a collection of lupin blossoms, and they're purple wildflowers that grow up in the Maritimes. And over time they fade and they just don't look all that good. They're great when you first photograph them or pick them, which I did a lot of work that way too. So I've found a way to incorporate them into the painting, paint them over with gesso, and then do a trompe l'oeil and paint it as though it was still a fresh blossom. But it had the nature of it being altered by time underneath. You know what I'm yeah, you get it? Yeah. So that's been that's kind of a challenge. It is a challenge, but I can use a scanner too. And there's one of the things that's really important to me is that I recognize that things are accidental. Everything's random, and if you stay tuned, which is literally you stay tuned when you're wherever you are. A puddle could be interesting, or the way the salt makes a pattern on pavement, or in the winter when there are vines that are crawling up a building, they have a lace-like quality. Those things I photograph, or I bring home, and then I can make arrangements with them of their physical after they're just picked or dried. I dry a lot of things. And I make the arrangements and then scan it or photograph it, and then that can be just the piece itself that I've just arranged myself the way you would arrange the picture plane, which gives it a different it's celebratory. It's saying these things that are dried up that you're stepping on and ignoring are interesting, so pick them up, look at them, and they're already designed. And you can incorporate them into your own design. So that's another aspect of what my work is currently.
How did you get into botany? Like, where did you learn?
Oh, I've been a gardener my whole life. Yeah.
Could you tell me more about that?
I'm trying to think of the word. It's a way for me to honor what my work is honoring the natural world. Mm-hmm. A good writer can do it. A poet can do it with words. I try to do it with images.
Sorry.
Well, there's one story that I have. we had a place, a little house up on an island in the Bay of Fundy in Canada, and I would.